Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. If you're watching on video, I just want to say that I might be slightly distracted by my bangs today because I usually straighten my bangs, and it wasn't until I actually went on to get on live. I haven't really looked at myself all day. I went, oh, I didn't straighten my bangs, and I got these curly, distracting bangs. So you're seeing my hair at its most au naturel. If you're getting to see it, you're seeing the au naturel. Sometimes my hair can get even more au naturel. If I just touch it ever so lightly, I can make my hair grow and do things. And it's very big, big wild woman hair. Anyway, I'm so distracted by my hair right now. So that has nothing to do with today's topic. And today's topic, we're actually going to be talking about what is a successful relationship? How do you know if it's successful? And I think the reason why this came up is because I love watching Netflix series, and one of the series that I was excited to see come back was Love on the Spectrum. And I'm not going to give you spoilers, but there was a breakup. And if you haven't been on social media and if you're not following the people from the show, it's Love on the Spectrum is like real people who are on the autism spectrum, on mostly the autism spectrum, and in different relationships and seeing how they are having relationships. There's a lot of different feedback. Some people are very insulted by it. They find that it's infantilizing of the people on the show, but I actually think it's a great way to see how different people relate in different ways and the value of learning how to relate to people in the way that they relate is, I think, very helpful. So Love on the Spectrum, what happened was that there was a breakup. And then, so all over social media, people are like, oh my God, so-and-so broke up with so-and-so, and it's tragic and sad and awful. And they were making it sound like the relationship wasn't a success. And they kind of made it out like because there was a breakup, the relationship wasn't a success. And in reality, the relationship was incredibly successful because number one, they were each other's first relationship. There was huge value in that, huge learning in it. They both grew as people. And to me, that equals success. I think what happens is that people only see a relationship as successful if it lasts until the day you die. But all relationships come to an end. So successful relationships also end. Thus the title today, Successful Relationships Also End. Have you ever been in a relationship, it ends, and then you think, well, that I must not have been in a successful relationship, complete failure, been in so many relationships. And just because you're married, like I'm married, doesn't mean that it's successful. You can create success. You can do things to feel successful, but marriage does not equal success. Long-term relationship does not equal success. You could be in a long-term violent, abusive relationship. If it's violent and abusive, that is not successful for either of you. You getting out of that violence and abuse, that's a success story. So when people try to qualify or quantify how much time equals success, or qualify that if you are in a certain kind of relationship, that equals success, I just want to throw all that shit out the window and look at it as, was Were there certain things that occurred in the relationship that created a sense of success? And I bet you've probably had more successful relationships than you thought. And maybe you can stop looking at yourself and going, oh man, I suck at relationships, and assume that you suck at relationships because your relationships seem to come to an end, or you've been in really abusive relationships, or certain things that you've now concluded, or people have told you, oh, you know, here you go again. Look at you getting in the same cycle. Well, no, for one thing, you can get in the same cycle, but it's always with a different person, and there's always a new learning opportunity to be had. Sometimes they'll be awfully similar, but unless you literally are dating the same person and there's been no change, and somehow there was like, I don't know, time travel involved, and you've gone back to the exact same time and space. But if you did time travel it, then you have that whole situation with time travel where that in itself changes things. Anyhow, me and time travel, timey-wimey. I was watching The Time Machine the other day. Nice little movie, actually. I quite liked it. Can't believe I hadn't watched it when I am so sci-fi weirdo kind of person. Took me, it was done in like 2002, total sidetrack. So, what is a successful relationship? What's it built on? What do you need for it to be working? So, a lot of people would say that successful relationships have everybody giving effort that's involved. Successful relationships have good communication. Successful relationships are built on trust. There's accountability, there's supporting each other. And yeah, those are really good factors to look at. They're also really good factors in a good friendship. So these are relationship factors that are not just about sexual relationships, intimate relationships. You can also have deep intimacy with friends, and it doesn't involve sex, because intimacy and sex, not the same thing. So successful relationships, if they are built on trust, then if you've had trust in a relationship and it was broken, that doesn't mean that the relationship wasn't successful. If you've had trust in a relationship and you continue to trust people, and you're still able to have the ability to trust people, even if, say, somebody, if you felt like they broke your trust for whatever reason, you know, did they mess up the finances? Did they, you know, steal something? Did they cheat on you with a part with some other person? Cheat as in, like, did they have sex with somebody else or whatever? Was the trust somehow broken? If the trust is somehow broken, but you are still determined to be able to trust yourself, then you had a successful, I know this is going to sound weird, but I would still say that you had a successful relationship because you didn't give up on you. And that relationship probably contributed to you not giving up on you. And any relationship that supports you being a stronger version of yourself, a healthier, smarter as in you learn things, version of yourself, then I think that is in itself a successful relationship. Do you have effective communication? So if you did have effective communication, and I have to say, effective communication is rare. And it's something that I continue to learn about. I continue to practice. It is, I don't actually know anybody who's quite perfect with communication. And so, but effective communication rather than perfect communication, effective communication is gives you the ability to share your information, get your information across, and continually grow in learning how to communicate. So, and being able to hear the other person, that's also part of communication, is the listening aspect. So if you felt heard, if you felt that you could say what you needed to say, then that was great. If it ended for some other reason, maybe you grew apart, maybe you just weren't quite what each other needed at that time, maybe one of you wanted to get married and the other one didn't, so there was a disconnect there, and that created the need to move on. all of the other things like trust and effective communication and actually working with each other and being able to be vulnerable enough to talk about your needs and share your all your the things that are important to you. If you have all that in place and at some point the relationship ends, either through separation, breakup, or whatever, or maybe even something as definitive as death, then you can look at that and go, okay, well, even though it ended, there was a lot of great things that I had and that were offered to me in this relationship. So I think looking back on my teenage years, I had a few relationships that actually had fairly, for teenagers, I'd say fairly good communication, especially teenagers in the 90s. We didn't have the resources that teens have now, which blows my mind. Like so many teenagers that I know are incredibly self-aware, self-reflective, into personal growth, looking to better themselves. But that just might be the people that my child hangs around with are more like that. But I like to think that they're not that unusual. I think it's maybe more common than we had it in the 90s. I mean, I had a few friends who were interested in like knowing more about themselves, where their problems came from, but I didn't really know anybody in therapy per se. Like some of us would talk to counselors, but we didn't have like big therapy the way that kids are going to therapy these days and figuring out their stuff. So having the relationships that we might have grown up with were could have been even quite decent for the time, right? And I think as maybe this is a topic for another day, but I think even generationally we grow to become more effective communicators. We grow to understand what we need in relationships and also being able to ask for more. So 100 years ago, could my great grandmother ask for my grandfather to be able to explain his feelings more? Although he was kind of the guy, kind of guy who probably would have. Was that a common thing? Probably not. A lot of men didn't talk about their feelings and they didn't have necessarily effective communication. They got on with their day. They were probably tired. They came home, did what they needed to do, and that was it. So people kind of existed. We're moving out of that unless, you happen to live in a place that's kind of like war-torn, then you're in survival mode. If you're living in a first world country with your first world problems, then effective communication is important. In other circumstances, sometimes we just look at it and go, wow, did we get through the day? And be grateful for that. Did you have each other's back? Were you supportive for each other's back? Not really too overly concerned about our, spiritual growth at the time because there's bombs going off in the background. So I think you also have to take into context and look at like what's going on in your world around you and what is the main thing that the relationship needs in order to survive, whatever the circumstances are, externally. And then internally, what does it need to survive those external circumstances as well? And so effective communication comes in to help with that. That was quite a tangent. My brain is tapping into all kinds tonight. Don't even know what's happening here. So we will talk about what comes up consistently as some fundamental things for successful relationships, like trust, and being able to say and have the transparency of being able to share what you feel like is important to you. It doesn't have to be everything, but there are things that if they are important to you and you keep them to yourself, you're not going to go very far with effective communication. So we will look at that, like an active communication and different things that you can bring to a relationship to have it feel successful. And my question to you also is, do you currently feel like you have a successful relationship? And then reflect on that as to why do you think it's why do you feel like it's a good relationship? What are the key points to you that have it work? Because sometimes we'll forget why why we enjoy our relationship, and we need to reflect on why do we think that is? And sometimes having that list, you can look back at it and go, actually, we've got this, this, and this, and this. So in those downtimes, when you have the list for reference, it can be really helpful. Write that list in the good times and see how you feel, and then have those reflection times to be able to look at that. My list is kind of in my head, but for some people, writing it down is helpful. So we're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about the fact that all relationships, including successful relationships, fail. No, wait, they don't fail, they end. Right. And a lot of times we think that relationships that have ended are a failure. And so my brain was like saying too many things at once. And if you are in a relationship right now and you're thinking, well, I hope this never ends because that means I'm a failure. Because a lot of times people will personalize it. It wasn't just that the relationship failed, it's that they personally somehow failed in the relationship. Just because a relationship ends doesn't mean that the relationship was a failure. Even if you're looking at friendships, if friendships have ended, they might have just run their course. And you could even love that person from afar, deeply and dearly, and you just aren't able to connect with them. Maybe you've grown apart. Maybe you have some fundamental things that just you can never reconcile. So especially in the last few years, there's been a lot of stuff with like political things, and people are taking them incredibly to heart as if that is their existence. And then when that happens, and then there's no room for discussion, like, no, I can't listen to you because my opinion is my only opinion, but it's actually not. It's all just political jargon that people have picked up, and they aren't really open to conversation. If you've closed the doors to communication, there can't be a relationship. I say that because I actually had that happen a couple years ago to somebody that I dearly love, still love. But the door was closed on me, specifically told there is no room for conversation. I'm like, well, if there's no room for conversation, then I don't know how there's a friendship, especially if the conversation about something that was quite dearly important to me at the time. So sometimes these things, they end, and it doesn't mean that everything else about it wasn't successful. And it doesn't mean that your inability to go back and try to create another relationship, that it's not necessarily your ability. You're choosing to not like go back and invest in that, because there's clearly, you know, somebody has stated like there's no room to invest in that, is not a sign of failure. So if you can look at what you had in the friendship relationship, whether it's sexual, whether it's your family, whoever it happens to be with, relationship is relationship. So when I'm talking about this is very general. This is not about only with people you've had sex with. This, look at this as all the relationships you've ever had, friendships, family, all of it. And if you have certain things in your relationship, then you can have some kind of level of success. So are you able to share openly and honestly with the person? Are they able to receive what you have to say? And are you able to share, are they able to share with you without there being any kind of tension or backlash or anything like that? So to be able to trust somebody with the things that scare you the most, like if you're afraid to tell somebody the truth because you feel like they're going to run away from you, then that is something to consider, that you need to be able to have that voice. Otherwise, the relationship will fall apart. And it won't necessarily mean that it was a failure, but it will end. And it wasn't in that sense, because you haven't been able to openly communicate, then there is sort of, I wouldn't say that was the most successful relationship. So if you feel like you can openly say things and feel openly able to hear what other people have to say, take it in, ingest, digest it, figure it out, agree or disagree with it, but at least hear the person out, then that is one really good solid step to take and have. And then to trust that if they do say something to you, that they know the relationship isn't going to come to an end necessarily, you can say something. And it can be, you know, from your heart. You could be telling them something that is very near and dear to you, or something that are very afraid to say, maybe have never said to anybody, and you're sharing your deepest, darkest secrets. And to have somebody in your life that you can share your deepest and darkest with, or your happiest and greatest, and they don't like squash your celebrate. Some people will squash you celebrating, and that's a hard one to deal with too. It's very hard to trust somebody when they squash your celebrations. So when you can be and feel like you can be like very honest with the person, then you have a greater chance of a successful relationship. But if you can't be honest with them and they can't be honest with you, and that could be about anything, that could be honest about how you feel. It doesn't mean like I'm being honest, so I'm telling them all my deepest, darkest thoughts and all the daydreams and fantasies I have. Not necessarily. Some things are best left in your own head. If it involves them and it could impact their life and it's something you're going to take an action on, then that's a whole other story, whole other story for another day. And also, having the ability to say, you know, if you've done something and you messed up, oh, you know what, I forgot to pay that bill, or what, I'm going to say that because that's never happened with my husband, but it had happened in the past with me, where somebody, we had bills to pay and we were like late, and then it was, but they wanted to hide it, and then it was problematic. So as long as, you know, you're owning your mistakes and you're saying, yeah, you know what, screwed up there, taking care of it. And also, if you are making promises, that you stick behind your promises, especially if the promises involve their love language. Like if quality time is important to, if quality time is important to you, and then the person promises you quality time, but then doesn't fulfill it, that can be really problematic, and it can create a real trust issue. So when somebody promises you something, especially if it's one of your primary love languages, and they don't deliver, and that continually happens, it's going to be really hard to build a solid relationship because that trust is not going to be there. And until you have that, there's always going to be room for it to actually just fall apart. I think that's just keeping it really simple. So one of the things that's important is to just clearly say what your needs are. And if you're really afraid to say what your needs are, then that can also lead to relationships ending, but not just ending, relationships end, but that if you can't actually express what your needs are, or you feel too afraid to say what your needs are, that gives you a failing grade in relationships. If I was going to mark it, I'd say you're at a D minus, maybe an F for fail, depending on the grading system in your country. But if you're willing to at least try to express your needs, like, for example, I need a lot of touch. Touch is like one of my main love languages. So if I express my needs and my husband hears what those needs are and he's able to follow through, and we have that active communication going on, but also that, you know, he can then express his needs or his ability to deliver what I'm asking for, that's active listening, would be saying, okay, I hear what you're saying, and these are the actions I'm going to take to fulfill what I just promised. And then also looking at ways to be able to create resolution for things and find ways to get out of conflict if there's conflict. Like I've said many times on this show that my husband and I, we don't fight. We do have things that will come up that we disagree on, and then we find resolution. And we still, there are things we don't always agree on, and we agree to disagree. Like it generally comes down to the way that we want to invest our time or money into something. And I'm like, hey, can we wait on that? And my husband loves like jumping on projects and making more things because he's a builder. And I'm like, can we wait until we've paid things off? That's usually where we have our like main things where we don't agree on something, but we always find a resolution and a way to move forward so that it's not that I'm always getting my way, he's not always getting his way, but we can find a common ground or a starting point at least. So it's not like, okay, you're going to do that whole entire project. Let's start with one thing and build from there. Oh, okay, yeah. Because he'll have a whole project in his head and I'll go, wow, I know it's going to cost 5 times more than you think it is because you're in construction and that's how construction people work. So if you can keep trust always starts with you first. So if you don't trust you, it's going to be really hard to trust other people in the relationship, whether it's your children, your family, your friends, your lovers. If you don't trust you first, there is very little trust that's going to be had in the relationship. You'll always look for somebody else to prove to you that they're either not trustworthy or that they're supposed to be trustworthy. But the whole time, you're kind of like on edge trying to figure out whether you can trust them or not, or they can trust you or not, or what is even trust, or how does God in the universe play into any of this, and like jumbly brain and like everything's going haywire. So trust in you first. And some things that you can realize about how you actually trust yourself, and I have my dear friend who owns this network, she has a show on here called Inspired Choices for Business Optimization, formerly just known as Inspired Choices. And one of the things that she taught in one of her classes is about trust and how to know if you trust you. Like the question that she asked was, do you trust it if you have to go to the bathroom that you will? And the funny thing is the first time she asked me that, I said no. Because I had, for most of my life, I would just hold on to my pee until I was about to explode and almost pee my pants. And I couldn't even trust my own body on the very simple things. So it's like, if you're also a great big no to, no, I don't trust that if I have to pee, I'll go pee. then there's other things to work on. And I've worked through a lot of that. And so if you need help to work through that, just to learn even some basics, like how do I even trust that when I have to go pee that I will do that and I won't just pee my pants? Yeah, you can always connect with me through militsayelenich.com and we can talk about that, because it can be actually really hard when there is absolutely no trust, that you absolutely don't trust yourself on anything. So making any decisions or taking any moves or even knowing whether to be in a friendship or relationship, who to trust in your family, especially if there's been abuse, it's very hard to know how do you trust if you can't trust some of the fundamentally small things, like trusting that you go to the bathroom if you need to. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Militsa Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Militsa Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Militsa every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Militsa Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilitsaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. What a treat. I just went into my chat room and I found a dear friend in there, and I'm so glad to have him present in my chat. I don't think I've ever had him in the chat before. How delightful. So today we are talking all about, and it's funny because I just realized that, and I'd been telling some stories prior to that. So about trust. So do you trust you, and like some fundamental things around trust? And my friend Christine McIver, who's also my business coach, but she once talked about trust and trusting some of the very small fundamental things. Like, do you actually trust that if you have to go to the bathroom, you're going to? And I didn't, because I was that kid who would hold my pee until I basically many times peed my pants. And even as an adult, like even before the show, I'm like, oh, I should really just go to the bathroom. Do I have to? No, I don't. And I swear I like waited 25 minutes until I almost just like peed my pants, because it's just like, I don't know what it is. I still have that thing where it's like, gotta hold on. It's the resistance. It's all this other stuff. But I don't always trust it still to this day. And I'll have resistance. It's like, this is the one thing I can control in the universe. But I am learning to trust more and more and more, and trusting my body more and more. And one of the things I use to trust my body is certain types of muscle testing, so that I can test and see whether things are yeses and nos. And I had this beautiful client who died 6 years ago. She was a lovely lady, and she never had kids. And I was kind of like her daughter to her. And for a few years, I worked with her on her health. And then as She was on a deep decline. She had a chronic health issues for over 40 years, and Aigane just came into her life at the end, supporting her through that. She, right near the end, she had this like deep craving for certain foods, but she had become so strict in her diet that she wasn't hardly eating anything, and she weighed about 86 pounds when she died, and she was like 5'7". She was really, really tiny, and she had a lot of conflict around being able to eat the things that would nourish her. So when I taught her how to muscle test for things, you'd never seen somebody so excited in their life to be able to eat a fig Newton, because her body said yes. And then when she ate it, she was okay and nothing happened. She didn't die. And so she was about 70 years old when she finally learned to trust herself. And she was so thrilled. It excited her to no end that she could trust her body, because her body for her had been something that she had fought with. It was, you know, chronic illness that she got in her 30s. She had massive amounts of trauma that you couldn't even like write it in a bad freaking movie, in a horror movie. And so for her at the end of her life to be able to trust her body was such a beautiful thing, and using her body to know yeses and nos. And so when people are like, I don't even trust anything, I don't even trust me, I will start with them learning some small, simple things on learning what is a yes for you, what is a no, what's a maybe, and playing with that, because it really is more about play, and play helps us heal a lot of the things that stop us from trusting. Play is one of those big things, especially for healing trauma. So it's, it can be really helpful. So trust, we know trust is important for a successful relationship. We know this, because we all know this, right, guys? These are just reminders that we need to have some play, which I just mentioned. There's a thing where people talk a lot about, you know, we need the positive energy and there's negative energy. And I had a really great teacher, and I was talking to a friend of mine about this today. I had a great teacher, one of my first energy work teachers, and somebody asked her in a class one day, you know, what do you do with negative energy? And she was like, okay, let's make things clear here first. All energy is neutral. It's how we affect it as human beings. Do we make it negative? Do we make it positive? Do we judge it to make it positive or negative? So this is like 30 something years ago. There weren't a lot of people taking like energy classes unless you lived in like San Francisco or something. Maybe Toronto had some of that going on. Some New York City, some of the bigger cities had some stuff going on, but not like it is today, where everybody and the next door neighbor dog is doing energy work. So we were, you know, in this class, and I'm like, now that, and this is, I'm talking like at least 30 years ago, was so poignant to me about how it's all neutral. And so when people are like, you know, you need more positive energy in your relationship, no. Neutrality is actually what energy is, and then what do you want to make of it? So you can be uplifting, you can be supportive, but you don't have to be that 24/7, because a successful relationship isn't 24/7 positivity. A successful relationship allows you to have your feelings. All feelings are valid, not all behaviors are. So you can be uplifting and supportive, but you don't have to be 24/7 uplifting and supportive, because that is not realistic. And it's an incredible stress for whoever it is that feels like, gotta be on, gotta be happy. I've seen people go through this, and now, like, when they're no longer in that relationship after having to be positive so much, they're absolutely exhausted, wiped out, don't even have the ability to function, to do some very basic things, because they've been on for so long and they don't even really know how to function in a real, like in a real way, where it's like, it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to get mad. All behaviors are not acceptable, but all feelings are valid, right? So if you're feeling mad, cool. Does that mean you get to go punch someone in the head? No. Does that mean you get to go, just because you're mad doesn't mean you get to go throw bombs off in Iran. No, you don't get to do that, people. Deal with your, maybe have some emotional growth and grow a little, and then allow yourself feelings, but don't start, chaos and fights and wars over it. So to have a relationship where you're allowed to have feelings is such a treat, because so many times people will try and regulate you in a way that's not actually regulating your nervous system, but they're like, we need to get you happy. And they think they're helping you regulate, but they're not. They're just, what they're doing is they're like forcing happiness on you and not allowing you to go through everything you're experiencing. It's like, okay, you're sad. Let's be with sadness and see where that flows. And, and validating the fact that we have these feelings. So having somebody in your life that can support you. And if you're in a relationship that is successful, you're going to have somebody who has supported you through your feelings. Can that relationship still end? Yes, it can. Why can it end? Because people die and relationships end. Does that make the relationship no longer valid because somebody, died, or because the relationship ended, even though you were emotionally supportive and were allowed to have feelings? The relationship is still valid. It's that maybe there was growth in other areas, and maybe one person wanted to live in Japan and the other one wanted to live in the Antarctic, and it just didn't work. And I'm just giving some weird extremes. I don't know why, because they popped into my head. So also being able to have a deep connection emotionally feel connected. And it's very different for everyone. So some people need to talk deeply about their feelings, and some people just need to have permission to feel them. Having emotional connection is like also seeing sometimes in your partner if they're sad, and then asking things like, hey, is there something you need to talk about? Or do you need to work through this on your own? What can I offer you, right? So emotional connection is being able to connect to somebody emotionally and see that they have an emotion that you can connect with. So it's not always that you have to feel what they're feeling, but you can acknowledge that they have a feeling, and maybe you contributed to it. Maybe you sparked something in them and it upset them. Do you make them mad? No, you can't actually make anybody mad. You're not God. But can you spark the emotion? Yeah, you can spark emotions in people. Because just like you can spark a fire, you can also spark an emotion. Can you, invent fire out of nowhere? No, that's like a chemical reaction. You don't really, it's a change in energy of things, right? So, and we know energy can't be created or destroyed. So it's just like this transmutation that happens, and we call it fire. It's a chemical reaction. So when we're cultivating deep emotional intimacy, what we're really doing is acknowledging that we have feelings and that another person has feelings. We can see them. We might not understand them. Not our job to understand somebody else's feelings, but we can be there to either acknowledge them, to ask what they could utilize as a support, because you don't always know what the person needs for support. So sometimes the greatest support is giving somebody space. Thank you. You just gave me, 2 days of silence. I needed that to be able to work through whatever I'm going through. And support can sometimes be just sitting there while somebody cries and let them cry. And there's been a great couple weeks of having people go through that. There's a lot of emotion going on the planet right now. And I've had the honor and privilege of being able to sit with people while they have no idea what they're feeling and they just need to be witnessed crying and not fix it. It's not a problem. They have feelings, right? So being able to just allow people to feel can create good relationships. Could those relationships end? Yeah, they could still end. Those, clients and friends of mine could be like, okay, great. Had what I needed from this friendship, this relationship. I'm out of here now. Okay, cool. And I think the more realistic we can be that all relationships end, even successful ones, can have You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I think if people think a relationship's going to end, so why bother putting the effort into it? To me, it's the opposite. A relationship could end, so why don't I make it the best it can possibly be while I'm in it? Like, I was in the shower this morning thinking about, man, I am so grateful that I get to like wake up to my husband's face every day. And I wonder if other people, you know, when they don't have that, what is it like to like wake up to, and then I remembered like I had that experience. I kind of like blocked that I'd even experienced that in my life, but temporarily. And I was like, wow, I'm so grateful. I said, and I was thinking to myself, like, even if I only had today, so grateful I had today. How lucky am I? And so I think when you can wake up to the person every day and you're just so grateful, even if the relationship ended tomorrow, if Mike was like, had everything I needed from this, I'm out of here, I'd be like, yeah, would I be shocked? A little shocked, but would I also be like, wow, that was a good relationship. That really, while we had it, it really worked. And to have Mike walk away could be, you know, it could be any, I don't know, it could be anything. He could just be done. I don't know. But I would hope that, you know, with open communication, I would see that coming. I would know that that's happening. When it's the most shocking is when there hasn't been open communication, so you don't see it happening. And so it's like somebody dying out of the blue and you don't see it happening. Where when you have somebody who's sick and then you have all of the anticipatory grief because you know they're going to die at some point, this is happening soon because you've been watching them suffer. It's not as shocking. It still hurts and there's still grief. But when it's out of the blue, kind of like if somebody got shot and died, that is shocking. And when somebody just up and leaves a relationship, it's equally as shocking. And so if you've had conversations and communication, though, then it probably won't be so shocking. And if you've had conversations and communication, and even after trying and putting an effort and working on things, and it still doesn't work, it doesn't mean that the relationship wasn't a success. It just means that it no longer works. So I think looking at and reframing was a relationship a success is a really good thing to do, because then you'll stop judging maybe yourself as a failure in relationship, which so many people do that, and then they have the fear of getting into another one or opening their heart or trying again. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You are listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. You'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about successful relationships also end, because they do, whether it's through death or through separation. Just because the relationship comes to an end does not mean it was not a success. Relationships all end sometime, somehow. The part that you need to reflect on is what did work, especially if it ended and you were like, you know, that I don't even know why that ended. It could be that you did just grow apart or different things. But a lot of times upon reflection, what people will start to do is go, but there were so many great things that worked. And that's the time to just honor the reason why it ended, especially if the other person broke up with you, you know, give them the space to figure out whether they'd even want to go back to you. It's an awkward one, and I talked about grief in relationships a couple weeks ago, and sometimes just giving the person space when it's done is a really good idea. Instead of going, "Hey, why aren't we trying again? You're going through the grieving process, so you're in denial. It's all good." So while a relationship can be highly, highly successful with some pretty fundamentally simple things like trust and communication, having clarity about your future endeavors too, like having something in common, that's another great C. And curiosity and play, all of that stuff is all great as well. One of the things to think about is what and how do you know if a relationship is over? And so I'm going to give you a few ideas as we come to a close of the show. So if you've been feeling like there is absolutely no communication, if you can't actually find any resolution when there's conflict and it just is like conflict after conflict, or if there's constant criticism, or if there's like disrespect and constant sarcasm or contempt, like somebody genuinely can't stand you when they look at you, or if they're constantly defensive, then the relationship is failing. If you also are not willing to have communication, then that can also be a failure. But if you've indicated things like, "Right now I don't really have a solution to what's going on. I need some space to think about it," and then give them a timeline. Be like, "Can I have a day to think about this? Can we come back to this in a day?" That way, because most people will get nervous and they just need to know, well, when are we going to talk about it? Give them a timeline, because otherwise most people have had abandonment issues of some sort. They will feel like there's abandonment happening, right? So if you want to have a relationship fail, just give random stuff that is, in defense. If you want to break down your relationship and kill it, then be disrespectful, be full of contempt all the time, resent your partner, if you want it to fail. And then have zero empathy or feeling or care for the person, how they feel, how their body is. If they're emotionally checked out, don't even care about it. If you really want a relationship to fail, you want to create arguments over nothing. It could be like, "Why did you put your shoes there?" I don't know, random stupid shit. If you really want a relationship to fail, you can just keep on bringing up the same issues and never trying to find a way to resolve them. And if you really want a relationship to fail, you can also create jealousy for nothing, like doubting people's, motives, or looking at their phones, looking at their laptops, wanting to see what they're doing, controlling their behavior, whether it's like how much they eat, who they see, what they do. If you really want a relationship to fail, then you want to have nothing that you do together. You want to have all your time apart and do nothing at all for quality time. Because even though quality time might not be your top love language, quality time is still in the love languages, and all the love languages matter to everyone. It's just that some are more important than others. And if every time your partner is like, "Hey, let's do something together," and you're like, "Oh my God, I don't want to be around them," then your relationship is definitely failed or failing. And there are so many other ways that you could just force failure upon a relationship if you wanted to. If you really want to know more about relationship failure, there was research done by the Gottman Institute, and they had something called the Four Horsemen of relationship failure. So having contempt, criticism, defensiveness, and stonewalling, which is withdrawing from interaction or shutting down. And then defensiveness, which is, being a victim and not taking responsibility. And criticism is where you're attacking your partner's character rather than looking at the behavior. So the behavior doesn't work, right? And you don't have to say they're an asshole, but it's maybe their behavior is like, "Wow, when you threw food on the floor, that hurt because I spent time making that," instead of going, "You're a fucking jackass for doing that." Okay, don't attack their character, address it.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.